Venerable religious and dear parishioners, you may not realize this, but in other countries of the world, today is a holy day of obligation. There are, I believe, 10 universal days of obligation. Today being an example, Corpus Christi, another one. As a matter of fact, there used to be, believe it or not, 32 days, holy days of obligation, actually even more than that, 35 when we count the last 3 days of Lent, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. When the Industrial Revolution began, there was quite a change in society. Instead of people living on their farms and eking out a living that way, more and more people moved to the cities and worked in factories. And now, instead of being able to take care of things in a more leisurely way, you might say, in other words, you don't have to be out in the fields if you're a farmer, at least not every day from 8 to 5. But now people had to do that, and employers would fire people if they weren't there every single day of the work week. The church was forced to, one by one, diminish the number of holy days of obligation. And so those 32 or 35 days got reduced to 10. And here in our country, which unfortunately since its founding has never been Catholic, the Catholic bishops petitioned the Holy See in the 19th century to reduce the 10 down to 6. And this is not for us to second guess the Holy See or why or the reasons, but therefore we accept the fact that there's only 6 holy days of obligation in our country, obligatory on Catholics. However, let's still keep in mind that the sanctity and the glory of this day, even though it's not a holy day of obligation and we can work and shop, etc., let's still make this a day of honoring and praising the greatest saint in heaven after Our Lady herself. She is, of course, the Queen of Saints. But the fact that St. Joseph had such an incredible role that he would be the legal father of Jesus Christ on earth and be in charge of the Holy Family. In other words, the head of that holy group, and Our Lady and Our Lord obeying and following his lead. By that very fact, he has to be the greatest saint. Saint Joseph was conceived in sin, as all were except for Our Lady. But he was sanctified, no doubt, very soon. After all, Saint John the Baptist was sanctified in his mother's womb, and that's why we celebrate his birthday on June 24th every year. We don't know the birthday of Saint Joseph, but I think there's every reason to believe he was already sanctified, as I said, already cleansed of original sin, and he was confirmed in grace. In other words, he wouldn't be falling into sin like the average human being would be, because he was called to such a high role and he was given so much grace that he would indeed be a most holy man, taking care of the holiest of creatures, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and taking care of the incarnate God himself. When I think of Saint Joseph, the word impossibility comes to mind, because there are so many seeming impossibilities associated with Saint Joseph. And let's just reflect on some of these impossible situations, seemingly impossible. The first thing would be that his wife would be the Mother of God. And Our Lady, as we know, she was a virgin in Nazareth. The angel appears to her and says, you will be, not in these words exactly, but obviously conveyed the meaning, you will be the mother of God. How shall this be done, Our Lady says. She's not questioning God's will, but she's not married. Well, she's a spouse, but they hadn't come together as the gospel tells us. Now, what this means is, in the Jewish law, the betrothal was celebrated with more ceremony and solemnity than even the marriage itself. So, already in God's plan, they were betrothed but not living together, as was the custom. How shall this be done? And the angel says, the Holy Ghost will overshadow thee. Nothing shall be impossible with God. And the miracle happened. As Isaiah had prophesied centuries before, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. There it was, the prophecy. How could anybody miss it? Certainly nobody of goodwill would have missed it when it was made known later on. Also, the fact that St. Joseph and Our Lady, because they had already made their vow of virginity and chastity to God, they would be in a virginal marriage. What does human nature say? That's impossible. No, it's not. It's not impossible when something happens. And indeed, we preach the ever virgin Mary, always virgin Mary. How sad it is that there are so many who claim to follow the Bible that will deny the perpetual virginity of Our Lady. Yes, they were married, but it was a virginal marriage. What seems impossible to men is not impossible with God. And there's many theological reasons we can give from Scripture and from the writings of the fathers proving the virginity of the ever virgin Mary and also the virginity of Saint Joseph. Although that is perhaps not as clear, but it can be demonstrated. But this is all part of God's plan, that they would be in this situation. And St. Thomas Aquinas actually lists 12 reasons why that marriage would have taken place. And certainly because everybody thought, at least initially, that's the son of Joseph. Is that not the son of Joseph, the carpenter? You see, it wasn't time for it to be revealed yet that he had no human father. Indeed, his father was the heavenly father. He could not have a human father, but he did have a human mother. Again, the impossible with men is possible with God. St. Joseph's faith was sorely tested. At first, it was not told to him that the incarnation had taken place, and he went through this absolute anguish. You know, what happened? And he was willing to deprive himself of a good name rather than let Our Lady's good name suffer. But then the angel appeared and explained it. And that sorrow, that anguish was turned into his joy that his espoused was going to be the mother of the Redeemer. And that would make him the legal father of Jesus on earth. There's another impossibility, commanding God. Who can dare command God? That's not possible, human wisdom says. Oh, but again, what's impossible to man is possible with God. And God submitted to Saint Joseph in his human nature, and Saint Joseph told the boy Jesus what to do. And of course, he never had any problems with obedience or respect. As sad to say, many parents have with their children. But still, he was commanding God. I suppose I have, as a priest, I have an idea of this, because you may not realize this, but priests, in their own way, can command God. How does that happen? Because when I say Mass, I command God to come down from heaven, because that bread and wine is going to be changed into his body and blood, and he arranged it to give this power. Also, priests, they forgive sins in the name and by the power of Christ. That is another command that priests can make, commanding God to forgive somebody through the sacrament of penance. A couple of other impossibilities, and again, this, humanly speaking, remember, this is what it seems like to us. St. Joseph was told, flee into Egypt. But he didn't have his tools of trade. When he and Our Lady went from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the birth of Jesus, he thought it was just to have the birth of Jesus. He didn't bring his carpenter's tools. He couldn't. And now the impossible is being asked. Flee to Egypt. No tools. You're going to have to survive there for years. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? But that was a test. It was a test of faith and obedience. And St. Joseph, of course, took Our Lady and Jesus and fled into Egypt until the angel revealed to him, the time has come, the danger has passed, you may go back. But there was still the fear of Archelaus, the successor of Herod. So I wanted to share these thoughts with you about impossible. Why? Because there are times in our lives when things just look impossible, don't they? Challenges and problems in our daily life. The challenges of raising children to be Catholics in this world that does so much to destroy the faith and morals of children. It's so hard. The situation in the church today, where most of those who call themselves Catholics have fallen into the new religion of Vatican II, it seems impossible. How are we ever going to get a true pope? That seems impossible. How are we going to keep this big building going? It seems impossible. The challenges, the struggle to keep the building going. Challenges in the parish, in the school, in our spiritual lives, as I said. Ah, what am I saying? Impossible. Well, let's go to the saint who knows all about impossible. Because the impossible became possible in his life. Not by his power, but by the grace and power of God. Let us remember those words that the angel said to his immaculate betrothed, nothing shall be impossible with God. And so as we celebrate this great feast, let's just know how powerful an intercessor we have. But our devotion needs to be there. We can't, you know, we need to grow in this devotion. And we read about from the writings of the saints, there seems to be, of course, a very clear indication, the much greater role for Our Lady. St. Louis Marie de Montfort explains that so beautifully in True Devotion to Mary. But from other sources, we read that God wants St. Joseph to be more known in our times. And he is the saint for every single need. Yes, we should go to the other saints, St. Anthony, St. Jude, St. Therese, St. Michael, of course, the patron of Mount St. Michael. Go to him, yes, go to them for various needs and intentions. It's good for us to have a growing devotion to these saints. But we are told that St. Joseph is the saint for everything. And he's again the saint of what seems impossible. But by the grace of God, it is possible and indeed needs to be done. So let us rejoice in this day, this great feast, the patronage of St. Joseph. Today I am offering the quarterly Mass, which we have pledged in thanksgiving and in continued petition to St. Joseph for all the help that he has given to us. One case in point, the stained glass windows, how are we going to get them restored? St. Joseph helped us to get them restored, basically to get them all taken care of. So again, another seeming impossibility that became possible. Thank you, St. Joseph. Thank you, St. Michael. And again, let's keep growing in our love and devotion to today's saint, St. Joseph. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.